Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading. Where we left off last week, we're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 10, being read by Alexander Scorby. Luke 10.
Chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Zidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Zidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have a number of questions tonight, John.
Okay.
The first one is long. Okay. Did you have a question?
Well, me?
Yeah, no, okay. I thought you said something.
No.
It starts out, Mr. Darash goes on and on about committees of safety. For background, for reference, I asked this question to the Brave AI platform. Did Second Continental Congress in 1776 advise colonies to adopt constitutions? One of the citations was from Wikipedia, which stated, On May 10, 1776, Congress passed a resolution recommending that any colony with a government that was not inclined toward independence should form one that was. I also asked the Brave AI platform which colonies formed committees of safety prior to the Revolutionary War in 1775. This was its response. Colonies and committees of safety. The concept of committees of safety emerged during the American Revolution as a response to the growing tensions between the American colonies and British rule. These colonies were formed, or committees were formed, to enforce revolutionary measures and maintain order. However, the specific colonies that formed committees of safety prior to the Revolutionary War in 1775 are not explicitly mentioned in the provided context. The context does mention that the First Continental Congress created the committee system when it adopted the Continental Association in 1774, which called for the formation of committees in every county, city, and town. It also notes that the committees of safety were emergency panels of leading citizens who took on various government functions. The context further indicates that committees of safety were established in various colonies, including New York, where the New York Committee of Safety was mentioned. However, the exact list of colonies that were formed, or that formed committees of safety prior to 1775 is not provided. One footnote in the above response cited, quotes from that page. These committees became the effective government in most localities until the formal establishment of state governments. The committee system in New York continued until 1778. With the adoption of the state constitution in 1777, a formal governmental structure replaced committees by the following year. From his extensive research on the subject, can Mr. Darash or anyone else cite to any document or historical record or book or article whether or not available online of a committee of safety operating in any state after the state adopted its first constitution?
Is that the end?
Yep, that's the end of the question.
Well, again, you know, AI is something that is going to become more and more problematic as time goes on, and there's going to be different perspectives and points of view depending on how you ask the question, and maybe people may possibly tinkering with it, or it's picking up fake or false information and so on and so forth. But we do know that the committees of safety go all the way back to the beginning. In the 1600s, the committees of safety were being used within the colonies, and I don't know how connected they were back then, but I'm sure they had some connections, of course, and they were growing. But committees of safety basically is something that's been around for a very long time, and it is something that's being used in order to govern themselves at a time when they don't have a government. Britain eventually took claim over the colonies as time went on, of course, but they still were not providing the necessities, so our founding fathers continued in those things. As far as governing themselves, they had people, for instance, Jefferson was sent to the legislature a couple of times before the 1776, and he was governor of Virginia. And we know as time went on that their communications took place through the, committees of correspondence, which each committee of safety had. The 13 colonies did have committees of safety. They did come together to discuss this idea of dealing with Britain, the problem that they were having, and of course that brought forth the first Continental Congress. And I presume at that point that's when they first really came together I don't want to say states because they were colonies. But they were some kind of a state in the sense that they were colonies. But in any event, the colonies all came together to discuss these problems. The problem, of course, was with the king. They were being taxed and many other problems. They were not providing for them, and they were being treated as second-hand citizens and not as British, individuals. We do know as time went on, we know that Paul Revere was on the correspondence for the committees of safety. He wasn't the only one. Each colony had their own. They communicated that way, sending messages between the colonies through, I guess, a mail system in a sense, but running through the committee of correspondence, which each of the colonies had committees of safety going. At the end of things, when we came to the end of the war, and again, they called together the Second Continental Congress, and then, of course, the Committees of Safety bound together in order to create a temporary government during the Revolutionary War. There were 10 presidents, I believe, during the Revolutionary War. Every year they elected a different individual. It was the Committees of Safety that did this election. It was the Committees of Safety that ran the war. They formed this kind of a government that during that time period they had, I don't know that you can call it a constitution, a compact between the colonies. But once we did form the government and the committees of safety became at some point in time called the committeemen. So they kind of lost sight of this whole thing because it became political parties, they became factions. Washington speaks about this. And particularly in his farewell address. But all our founding fathers had a problem with parties. And I'm glad this question came up in the beginning because I've been thinking about this. Parties are the problem. And if we can't come together to create our own committees of safety and to do this in every county, which is the only way, and I challenge any, and I do this all the time, I haven't found anyone come up to correct me yet. If anybody can make a correction on this, I'd love to hear it. It's an impossibility to have government by consent, which is the Declaration of Independence. It was the foundation of our law and the creation of our government, ultimately, that we should have government by the consent of the people. Now, the purpose of parties is to battle and bicker and argue over different things. They have nothing to battle about. There's nothing for them to do in the sense of deciding or trying to discover, should we have a Second Amendment? How much authority? Should we maybe give them permits? I mean, they just bastardized the whole system. But in any event, this is what parties do. Parties argue. These are factions. This group wants that. They have alternative motives. And ultimately, unfortunately, it's been my position and thinking, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, that powerful places draw psychopaths and sociopaths. And I do believe that most of our elected officials are such. Not every one of them, of course not. There are people that go to Washington or up to your state government, the capital, in order to try to do good things and, really have good government and so on. But it's been so beat up, so destroyed. We are so far away from who we are as a people that who we should be. We have no control over our government. Our courts are gone. They're lost. They're courts of injustice. We're ruled over, ultimately, by chancellors in the courts. You come in up against the status quo, you can guarantee you're going to be thrown out. The only thing we could do is build a good case and wait for the time when we can resurrect that case. Because there is no other solution. You can't beat these people. They've got hold of everything. The minions of the New World Order, which of course are the lawyers, the bar attorneys, most of these people have no clue that they are working for the enemy. They really do believe that they're doing good. They do believe, but on the other hand, if they really look at their soul and see what it is that they're doing and what it is that causes them to go get up every day as a lawyer and do things, it's all about money and power. It's always about money and power. And you can't say that about every lawyer, but I say that about most lawyers. I've met only a couple of lawyers, two, that's all I met, two lawyers that I do believe that were on the right track. And three, I'll just think of a third one, there's three. And, but other than that, again, their whole purpose, the purpose of the bar attorneys, they were sent here in 1750 by the king because there was problems in the colonies. Particularly Benjamin Franklin was a big thorn in the side. He was a problem. And other people were, complaining. And one of the things the king had to do was get rid of these courts of justice, these common law courts, which they had already been working in England for quite some time already. I have no idea where they were at that time period. But clearly they controlled a lot, and I'm sure they controlled the courts pretty well. They've got chancellors. We see stories and movies and different things of these judges, they got a lot of power and authority to put people to death. And in movies you might see, and who knows how true movies are, but it does reflect something of the times, maybe, where, someone would be found guilty and the next day they're being hung or whatever. They had cruel and unusual punishment. There were a lot of problems in England as well as and they were trying to get rid of these courts in the United States in the colonies. They succeeded. They succeeded in a lot during the time of our founding fathers when they were alive. They were already being destroyed. Chancellors were being put in place of judges. And the judges have always been the people. We got to remember that. They still have the same name, the judges. It's ALJs, okay? Administrative Law Judges. That first word tells it all, administrative. That identifies with equity. It identifies with statutes and regulations. And of course, they went out and created civil law, and they took law, and they took which, and the word law in Black's Law Dictionary, there are 51 jurisdictions that I've counted anyway. Maybe there's 52, 53, but I counted 51. 51 jurisdictions. Every one of those except one is legislative law. They're all administrative law. Every one of them controlled by the authorities that be, the legislators that write it, of which they were not by and for the people. The only one, then there's law, L-A-W. If you go into, you know, statutes are referred to as law, but it's equity, okay? But the word law, standing on its own, at law, in law, action at law, or just law on its own, always means the common law. And that's the law of the land. That's the law we have. Well, we're supposed to have, because we don't have it anymore. It's gone. And it's gone because the people are not stepping up. The people don't know enough to step up. The people don't know how to have government by consent. That is the problem. And therein is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, to bring the idea that our founding fathers had on how to have government by consent. It is an impossibility. You cannot have government by consent without having committees of safety. You have to be organized. You have to be involved in your local community. And you have to come together in your local community. In our case, we look at it counties. Come together in counties and deal with the problems of our local government from ourselves, from within. Because, again, we're the ones who put people onto the ballots. We're the ones who are able to do recalls. We're the ones who can require them to be obedient, those people we elected, to be obedient to the Constitution. And they're not, and we're not doing our job. I venture to say 90% of what Congress is doing, and this is just on the federal level, forget about on the state level, we have the same problem in every state, some states worse than others. But on a federal level, I venture to say 90% of what they're doing is unlawful. We have not given them the power and the authority to do these things. We didn't give them the power and authority to abrogate the common law and replace it with Roman law, which is what lawyers are taught in bar schools. They believe we are under Roman law. They believe this country was created as Rome, and nothing could be further from the truth. We are not created that way. We are under common law and equity. That's the law of the land. But the people don't know even the difference between law and equity. They don't even realize that they can live without civil law, you know, which is municipality law, the law of the city, to control the slaves, to control the citizens, to keep them in line, to punish them, fine them, jail them if they step out of line. That's where we're at. It's getting worse. And the unfortunate thing, and I don't know whether I'm correct in saying this, but from what everything I can see and hear and understand, even Trump and his administration has no clue on who we are as a people. They don't know American history. They don't know our founding fathers. They don't know what our courts are all about. They don't know the difference, it seems, between law and equity. You go talk to a judge or anybody else in the court system, and they say, we have common law. Sure we do, you know, and they refer back to their decisions, trial court decisions. So they're making up the law as they go. They hide the things. If a case is lost, they hide it. Maybe some leak through here or there, but they hide it. It's a little difficult for them to hide the Supreme Court ruling, which is really, you know, where we would go to look to help hopefully find good decisions that uphold the law. But we gave Congress 18 powers. They have taken over 118 powers. And I just recently, and I've heard this so many times from different individuals and people who should know better. And just recently, it was today or yesterday, I heard in some conversations, they're concerned that we're going to become a single-party people, that is what the New World, they didn't use the word New World Order, but that's what the powers that be, so to speak, they're pushing for, a one-party system. At this point in time, it's close to being a one-party system because the Republicans, and even the Republicans, they're no better than the Democrats. You know, it just so happens at this point we have enough good people in there be able to do anything worthwhile and to really put enough pressure on the enemies within the Republican Party to be voting the right way. So a lot of pressure is being put onto these people. And I can imagine some of the things that are being put upon them and why they are, you know, doing what Trump and his administration really wants. But once in a while, they buck the system and they get a problem. But, you know, the problem, though, is that these people, they're totally out of control. But a party is destructive. Even a two-party system is destructive. Even a single-party system is destructive. No party is what we need. We need the Constitution is what we need. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them, to control them, to establish the law, to lay out their powers and their authorities, vesting them with power or authority. They're not sovereign in their position. They claim sovereign authorities and being able to be protected because they're sovereign. They're not sovereign. No, they are vested with powers. They step outside the law that we have laid down for them, then they are outside that power, and they have no protection at all. Yet they will make an argument against that. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth. But you can't have government by consent without committees of safety, because committees of safety are the and what you have right now is the committeeman system, which was seized control of by party bosses. Ultimately, the whole thing was statutorized. So really, the minions of the New World Order, these bar attorneys, they put this whole system together, and they statutorized the process, or at least it appears like they statutorized, to some degree they did, but they really put the power into the party bosses within every single county in America, and of course the national, within the state level and the national level. And it's all controlled by party bosses. I've seen firsthand, because I was a committee man a couple of times. I've seen firsthand, so it's not just something I hear about and talk about. No, I know. And I know other people who were committee men, and they know. They know what's going on. The whole thing is a farce. They put into power who they want to put in power. They count the votes in secret. They come in, you know, one person will come in carrying 100 votes or 30 votes of other committee men. They didn't make it, so we got the votes. So, you know, that doesn't work in any place. It's you know, in Congress, that's not permitted. Why would it be permitted in the committeemen? But the whole thing is really just getting the people in that they want. And that's the problem. And the only way this is going to be solved, there is only one way, and that's the committees of safety. To raise up in a committee of safety in every single county. And those individuals are responsible to police the people that have put into government, to police the court system, to make sure everything is going right. And bring things, you know, in all of these different other places that they have to deal with, local government, school districts, and so on and so forth, to bring them under the control and the will of the people. Because right now they're under their own control, do whatever they please. But they are controlled by party bosses. So they are limited to what they want. But they do what they want, and they don't care. And our court system is such a mess. I haven't seen a habeas court since I became conscious of the legal system and figuring things out in the courts. I have not seen habeas corpus in the courts. They have shut it down. You can't get into court unless it's a complaint. They won't hear an action. They'll do everything they can to change an action into a complaint. The complaint is a civil procedure. An action is a common law procedure. So all of this because we're not doing our job. To some degree, okay, it may not be our fault because it was hidden from us, and you know we're made morons from school. You know, you go back and think, you know, and it has gotten worse. I mean, you know, today children are just coming out of school total morons. They have no clue on anything. They don't even know, can't even find the United States of America on a map. Can you imagine an individual in college cannot find the United States of America on a map? They don't know who the first president was. They don't know difference. These people are totally lost. There's no education going on in this school. But, you know, we think that we know more than, you know, again, let's go back to, who was it, Mark Twain. You know, it's not what you don't know that's going to get you. It's what you think you know and ain't so That's what's going to get you. And that's the problem in the United States right now. That's the problem, I think, at this point in time, is still the problem with Trump and his administration. Could be wrong. You know, maybe they just haven't unfolded their knowledge yet. Maybe they were not ready for that battle. And I'm talking about the battle in the courts to take our courts back. Because there is no justice courts in America. None, zero, zip. It doesn't exist. And at this point in time, it's the people's fault. Because the people are being, lots of people have become aware of what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. But very few people start committees of safety. It's slow and long and in between. You know, right now, and we've been at this for quite some time now, and trying to get to the page here. You know, let's look to see how many committees of safety we have going right now. Okay? Right now, we have a total of 203 committees of safety in process. Okay? And they're all in different stages. You know, it takes time to build a committee of safety. To really get to the point where you're really starting to do anything worthwhile takes 6 months, maybe 9 months, unless you can gather together a whole lot of people in the beginning. If you can, you know, entice different organizations to listen to the program, you know, to get a presentation of the program of a committee of safety and then join in, and you can get 20, 30, 40, 50 people pretty quick. And then, as soon as you can get 30, 40 people, you could be really doing good business. The only thing, you're going to need an education, and that's going to take at least a couple of months as you're building things. And if you're not getting an education, then you're going to do it wrong. You know, if we're not doing things together, if the committee of safety in this county is going this direction, the committee of safety in that county is going another direction, and they're not working together, they're not communicating, there is no power in the people. It can only be done if we're working together. We don't have to agree on everything, but on the major points we should agree. Okay, when these people step out of line, okay, and are not honoring their oath, and do something outside of their, outside of the authority that we vested them with, then we got to come together and recall them. And if we don't come together or don't have the ability, because there are not enough committees of safety to get the necessary signatures and the balance necessary required in order to remove certain individuals from office, you know, a certain percentage for this area, a certain percentage from that area, and so on and so forth, like if you wanted to remove a governor, okay? And even a congressman, you know, you got to work with a lot of counties if you want to bring a congressman back out of office to recall them and get another election going. It's up to the people to put the pressure onto them. But they don't even know what the law is. People don't even know what the Constitution says. They don't know the powers and the authorities that these people were given. We're living under the IRS. We're living under civil law. We're living under chancellors. We're living under political parties. All these things are repugnant to our founding fathers. It's repugnant to the common law. And yet the people don't know it because they're ignorant to it. You know, ignorance is the point in being that you don't have knowledge in a certain area. We're all ignorant in many ways. I mean, I have certain knowledge in certain areas, but there's plenty of areas I don't have knowledge. So in those areas, I'd be ignorant. You know, there was a time when I was ignorant to all these things. I had to discover them on my own. And that's what people have to do. But if people aren't going to step up, and they're not going to put their time and their money into having government by consent and getting involved in their committees, in their counties, and doing what has to be done and educating themselves and getting a proper education into school, and to take these people out of power, then we're not going to have government by consent, because you can't have it unless the people are united. Do you think one colony, back in the 13 colonies, do you think one colony could have done what was done on their own? Do you think five colonies could have done what was done on their own? No, they needed unity throughout all 13 colonies. Without that unity, they could not set themselves free, escape from the bonds of Britain. And that's where we're at today. If we don't work together, county to county, state to state, in the areas that we need to work in, okay? And there, the reason why there's no need for a political party is because what do they need to discuss? What are they discussing? What are they arguing about? It's always about empowering one group and taking power away from another. That's what it's about all the time. What does that have to do with a republic? A republic is law. Okay, so these people think that they can go, and they got carte blanche to discuss, and, you know, well, maybe we're going to need to give these people permits. We need to make sure we understand who these people are. We got to restrict the permits in these. You can't have a weapon if you go into New York City. We're not going to give people in New York City a weapon, or in this county or that county. We're not going to freedom of speech. You can. You got to go stand in this corner. You want your freedom of speech? Go talk over there. We'll rope off an area, and you can sit and talk to yourself. You know, don't come on tweeting or any of these social medias and bring this up, because we'll shut you down, because, you know, we don't want you talking about those things. Come on, people, wake up. See where we're at. We are in trouble. We need committees of safety. And if you're not doing anything, if you are not at least supporting your committee of safety in your county, then woe is you and woe is the people in your county, because we need to be getting up and doing these things. Because if you don't, who will? You're hearing the message. You're getting the knowledge. You can get the schooling. We have all the courses here. Everything we do and everything we talk about is footnote heavy. You know, the questions that were asked on certain things and, you know, this, that, or the other thing. I mean, we go into government by consent. More than a third of that book is footnotes. Some pages is more than half pages. More than half a page is footnotes. What are footnotes? That's the authorities. That's where the information comes from. You can go back and research and read the research. That's what it's all about. So, but to trust AI, to go on and trust Wikipedia, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Because that's like trusting the devil, in my opinion. You know, Wikipedia changes that once you put something up there, that because there's people watching, and you go up and make some corrections, it comes down real quick and is corrected. Okay, Wikipedia is really a control system. You can get some good information from there, don't get me wrong. But anything worth anything, you know, forget about it. Anything with authority and power, what's going on, the conditions of our courts, the conditions of our political system, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. And AI? I stay far away from AI. You know, AI keeps creeping into my computer. I keep seeing these little notes popping up. Who are these people? They're coming into my private world. I get a pop-up telling me AI can help you with this. AI, and people fall for that stupidity. And then you're going to become dependent on AI. Your children, do you think your children are morons now? Give it another, generation or two. They won't know nothing, absolutely nothing, zero. They will have to depend on the AI robot. You know, what does that mean? How can I answer that question? Write me a book. Write a movie. Create a movie. Find me the answers to this. You don't get knowledge that way anyway. Even if the knowledge was good that's coming in, the research is what gives you the power and the ability to be able to recall it. That's what gives you the power and the ability, you know, going over things over and over again, finding it over and over again, confirming from different places that this is the fact. And, you know, that's what builds the structure within your mind to be able to articulate the things that you have learned and the things that you know are truth. Because you don't think they're truth no more, you know that they're truth. You know, I talk to a lot of people, maybe about different things, and not just necessarily political things and judicial things, but just other things in general. And they talk like they have knowledge. They make it up in their mind. I was guilty of that, too, to some degree in the past, okay? They make it up in their mind, and they believe what they're saying. And like Mark Twain said, okay, it's not the things you don't know that hurt you. At least if you don't know it, you know you don't know it, and you got to figure it out because it's going to affect your life. But it's the things that you think you know, and it's not so, because lawyers don't want to hear this. They spent $250,000 for their education. Who does this person think that they are that has no education that's going to come tell me that I spent all this money and I'm in the courts working and filing papers? They're going to tell me about the law? They're not listening. Politicians are not listening. Politicians don't want to listen. We're finding out how many of them are lining their pockets, okay? A lot of them are going to go to jail. They have to go to jail, and they will go to jail. I do believe that. But whether we'll ever get to the real truth, whether we'll ever get to getting our courts of justice back, to getting habeas corpus back. You know, they complain about habeas corpus. These SOBs complain about habeas corpus for these illegal aliens when I can't get habeas corpus. You can't get habeas corpus, but we got to give it to them. They automatically max out on Social Security $3,000 a pop. I think that's the highest you can get on Social Security, $3,000. And these people were getting $3,000. A nice, you know, Ritchie hotel. You know, you get arrested, don't worry, we'll get you out of jail. I mean, are the people paying attention? You know, it's going to be fixed with or without you anyway. But it'll never get to where it should be. And we will lose it again. That's a guarantee. The hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? That's what God says. I believe God. Okay? So it's only a matter of time before we cut back. It doesn't matter. We can bring everything to where they're going to come. Evil's going to raise its ugly head again, and it's going to infiltrate again as time goes on. May take a couple generations, and it'll all be gone again. Or we'll have AI, and it'll happen real quick, you know? And just think about this, you know, someone like Musk or anyone else, and, you know, people have problems, and certain people, we can see that there are problems, whatever they may be, who knows, but in any event, if you've got a person that can control a million robots, they could take over the world, can't they? You know, the drones and robots, people should be frightened about this, but nobody's doing anything about it. There's no controls on this. It's out of control. So, anyway, committees of safety, that's the only way they're governed by consent. Yeah.
Amen to what you're saying. I can already find less on the committees of safety than I could several years ago. This is one of G.R. Mobley's concerns also, that AI is already changing our history, and you won't be able to find these things.
I agree with that. I'm having the same problem in my research. It's not as easy as it used to be, but I still get a lot of good stuff. But yeah, tougher. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can still get good stuff, but you have to dig deep. And, you know, people say AI is neutral. And, you know, I saw this question because, you know, I get the same mail. I have it come to me as well. And, you know, I found it to be rather unsettling, and you said it already, that people are going to rely on this. This is a problem. And like you said, you do the research yourself, and you learn, and you know. People think AI is neutral. I do not think so. I think it is evil. A friend of mine was telling me recently about a thing that happened, I think, at Apple. It was Apple or Amazon. The AI found that they were going to shut it down, and the AI blackmailed one of the executives because the AI knew one of the executives was having an affair, and he was married. And this is just one of the stories about the AI they've had to shut down. This stuff is evil, and it will change our history. You know, when Trump came out, they came out, I don't know, like a month or two ago, talking about how they can manipulate space and time. I don't know if you heard that, but this is a real problem, and I'm glad you said all the things you said. And if people are not willing to do the research, as you spoke of, then Lord help us all, because AI is nothing we can rely on. I just wanted to further augment what you were saying. I found that to be most unsettling, if not even a little disturbing. And the committees of safety go way farther back than what this question was saying, or what the AI. Yeah, absolutely. And even then, when they didn't call it committees of safety, it was basically a committee of safety. I mean, anyone that looks at it honestly, when the first pilgrims got here, those are very committee of safety, like the things they had. Very much like that. It's basically the same idea. But it wasn't long before they started calling them committees of safety. And like I said, I've mentioned this one presentation I gave here in Georgia, and I referred to one of the documents you had found from 1692, and then I found one myself from the Library of Congress I forget what year it was, but it was about committees of safety anyways, far, far older than the Revolutionary War and the few years leading up to it. And thank you, I yield.
Okay, thank you. All right, so anyway, you know, look, at the genie's out of the bottle. I don't think it can go back in. May God have mercy on us, I'll tell you that. You know, I do believe the Lord's going to be here soon. You know, and, you know, there's hell to pay. A lot of people ignore that, but look, at the day will come and they're going to know. There's hell to pay. And maybe God is allowing man to build his own hell. Just think of living under these things that are about to come onto this world. And it's a problem. So, but anyway. All right, back to you, Jan. Sorry it took so long. I was thinking of talking about this tonight anyway. But, Jan, any other questions?
Yes, I'd like to make
a comment.
By the
way, just one other thing before you say anything. The Q&A is open if anybody wants to get into the queue. It's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone to get into the queue, and if you're on an app or browser, there should be a button there somewhere to get into the queue. So the queue's open. Go ahead, Jan. Sorry.
I couldn't agree with you more, John, about the comments about AI and the Brave AI. I've never used the Brave AI or any AI, but when I started reading down through there and it pulls a quote from Wikipedia, I thought, my God, it's already compromised, you know? Because Wikipedia is, as everybody knows, is noted for its misinformation or disinformation.
And also the cloud, that's another big problem.
It suffers from the same thing that we've seen for hundreds of years. It's the Geigel problem. Garbage in, garbage out. And that's, you train it on garbage, you're going to get nothing of any value out of it. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth.
Well, I just want to say, you know, the cloud is another problem here. You know, I stay away from the cloud. I mean, I remember a long time ago talking with a friend of mine who was a tech, and I said, what are you putting? He didn't understand why there was a problem with the cloud. Okay, but he has no clue that the government's looking into everything and that people are selling all this information. And now the cloud is inside my computer. You know, all of a sudden, when I go to save, because I downloaded a Microsoft Teams. Did you guys download the Microsoft Teams, by the way? I downloaded the Microsoft Teams, and ever since then, when I do writing and I go to save my, if I don't click on save first before I close my program, and I go close my program because I forget to click on save, the program will remind me I need to save it. And now it says, you know, it reminds me to save it to the cloud. Are my things going up to the cloud also as it's going into my computer? And also, AI, there are a lot of things that document. I can't trust even watching things on YouTube or Rumble or anything anymore. I mean, a lot of things you're watching, it's made by AI. It's not real. The people are not saying the things that they're saying. I've seen a couple of documentaries. And on YouTube, they have this little thing, and I forget the words. It's 2 or 3 words, and it doesn't even make sense to me that they'll pop up in the beginning of a video, and it's up at the top left-hand corner, and then it disappears. You know, it's not up there long. And basically, I was looking into what the meaning of that was, and what it was that these things aren't real. There's been a lot of this stuff. It's some or all of the information you're going to be watching on this particular documentary is not real. You know, right now there's a big thing about, you know, the satellites that we had sent out that have now left our, not satellites, they're spacecraft anyway, that have left our solar system already. You got these documentaries talking about these messages coming back and it's being interpreted. And you got people who are scientists interpreting this as some, you know, foreign life form or something that created these, you know, spacecraft or whatever it is that's out there that's monitoring things. I mean, it's really bad. You can't know the difference. It looks pretty real. And while you're watching that, you know, why isn't anyone else talking about this? You know? But in any event, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's going to get worse. And if we had committees of safety, we can go to our congressmen, we can press our congressmen, and we can make them write law about this stuff. No one's doing that. Nobody. And I remember Musk making a big thing about AI. Okay, it needs government control. I haven't heard him talking about that in what, 6 months or almost a year maybe? But he was on that for a long time, really hitting hard on that. And Congress hasn't done anything. They haven't fixed the problem. They haven't put any legislation out to control these things. You know, if you're going to watch something and if it's fiction, it needs to tell you it's fiction and not make it look like it's real. And then you get all this garbage into your brain and you don't know, you know, whether you got the truth or not anymore. It's just, it gets very confusing. It's a problem. The genie is out of the bottle, and people better wake up, and people better get together to move to create their committees of safety. We better get together and start working together and start solving these problems, because these people in government are not going to solve our problem. And, you know, and Trump and his administration have enough problems to look at. I don't even know if they're even thinking about these things. But the biggest thing is our court system. They have no clue. Well, they do have a clue, because they saw what it done to Trump. But what are they doing for the people? Why are we being governed by people who work for the government, where the master is being tried by the servant, that the servant makes the decision over the master? What kind of system is that? People can't even work that out in their minds because they don't think about it. These people are government people. They're servants, and they have the decision of your life in their hands. They're administrative law judges. They have no power for that at all. That is clear in the Constitution for anybody who understands the meanings of the words. All right, Chan, back to you.
Yeah, you just triggered me again, John.
Uh-oh.
I just had to buy a new computer, and I ended up with this garbage Windows 11 thing.
You
have a monopoly. You can do whatever you want to people, so everything on that thing slants towards their stuff. Use their browser, their email, and word processor, you know, and they all tie together, and they have a name for it now, synchronizing.
Mm.
So everything is synchronized, so it all goes into their cloud, and they've got it.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing to do, John, is just uninstall the cloud and let them try and put it on there.
Well, the thing is trying to find it. I think it's hidden in your computer in the systems. But, you know, look at when I first, I'm not sure whether I have 10 or 11, to be honest with you, but whatever it was, it had too much control, had a lot of things. It was, even if you shut off updating, it's good for 30 days, and you have to remember to go back to do it again, and if you don't, you're going to get updated. And you couldn't shut that off. But there was a guy on YouTube, I searched around on YouTube to deal with shutting these things off on Windows 11. There is a way to do it. So you can shut a lot of this stuff off. So my computer isn't updated by their whim, you know, or anything like that. I don't want their updates. I've lived without their updates for over 10 years, you know, all the different, different systems I had, you know. Windows XP, Windows 7, so on and so forth, 10. I think I'm on 11, I'm not sure. But I've always shut it off, and I've never had problems with the computers. Before that, when I was ignorant, I always was having problems with the computers. Maybe it was them causing problems for me. I don't know. But anyway, people better get up and do something, and better do it now, because time is running out. Trump's only there for 4 years, and if he doesn't realize this problem and he doesn't fix this problem, we're not going to have a chance to fix this, I'll tell you right now. And we have to convince all these people that are empowered, we got to convince them that we are so far from who we are as a people. They don't understand or know who our founding fathers are or were or what they created for us. You know, Jefferson said it, you know, if the people only understood what they have got, and they don't know. All right, back to you, Dan.
Hey, quickly, just to augment, hopefully, what you both are saying, you know, these large tech companies, and again, GR highlighted this, give credit where credit is due. I didn't think about this, but Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, these companies, with these phone companies and Microsoft and Apple, they used to ask for consent. Now they simply say, if you want to use our products, and everyone's bound to these products now, when you're doing business or in your personal life, you agree that we're going to take your privacy and do whatever we want with it. So the Fourth Amendment be darned as far as they're concerned. They'll do whatever they want. And Sean, just as you keep saying over and over and over again, no one knows any better because everyone's ignorant. So, you know, they're basically, to be too graphic, but, you know, they're basically wiping their backsides with the Constitution, Magna Carta, the Holy Bible. You know, they don't care. They don't care. And so do they upload stuff to the cloud? They do whatever they want at any time, unless you're going to be crafty enough to figure out how to stop them at this point. But they'll surpass what that fella has on YouTube. They'll get past that too. They'll figure it out, unless we do the things you're talking about with committees of safety. And I yield.
Right. We have to force our government to take control, because that's what they're there for. If you go read the Constitution and Article 1, Section 8, which is the powers and the authorities that we specifically, the 18 powers that we specifically gave to our legislators, okay, it's for them to control commercial activities and things that people are being abused by, you know. And the only way we're going to enforce this is the people enforce it. You know, I've said this before, maybe it's been a while since I've said it, but, you know, when the committee men that are in power, which is, of course, the Republican and the Democratic Party, particularly, okay, they're the ones that are in power, run by party bosses, controlled by the elite, you know, it's the whole system is a rig, okay, but, you know, they have the power and they have the authority and they do whatever it is that they want to do. There is no control over it. But if a county committee man, okay, if the committee chair of a county, and especially a state committee chair, if they go to chastise an individual that's in power and says, you got to stop doing that and you need to do it, stop it now, they're going to stop. Because they listen to him. Why? Because they have the power to take him out of office, not to put him back on the ticket the next time around, because it's the committee men that put people onto the ballot. We are the committee men. We need to be putting people onto the ballot, not the party bosses. Again, people have no clue of these things. They don't know, you know. And a lot of people, I've talked to people, you know, about this traffic violation stuff, that it's all commercial, again, getting back to that. Okay, and people actually think, well, if we don't have that traffic law, no one's going to stop at light. I'm going to stop at a light. Everybody's going to stop at a light. Train up a child on how they should walk. They will not depart from it when you're older. So if you're a young person and you've grown up in society and people are stopping at lights and looking both ways, and if midnight it is, you hear the crickets out there and there's nobody in the streets, you stop at the red light, nobody around, so you pass through it. Who cares, you know? But the bottom line, people aren't going to be flying through lights. They're not going to be driving crazy. Either some people will drive crazy, and that's just that. Whether you have law or not, you know, so these statutes or not. But that would be reckless, and that could be reckless endangerment, and a cop could stop you for that and potentially do something. Not sure exactly how that would really work, but it can be done. Something can be done. And it would be a necessity to save protection of the people, you know. But the thing is that people really think we need all this control, you know. Jefferson said, I'd rather have way too much liberty than for it to be restrained or restricted, you know, to have too little.
Hey, John, they also covered this too.
John,
as nations become more corrupt and vicious, they are more in need of masters. That's where we're at. Also, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people only. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And so, yeah, if we're not all raising up our children right, yeah, we're going to have problems, because the people are expect to be, you know, cradle to grave, taken care of. So yeah, we don't get back to God without a revival. I would be concerned myself, and I yield.
And a proper education will fix that. Even if you have dysfunctional family, your parents are dysfunctional, maybe all kinds of problems, and maybe even demoralized, who knows. But whatever the case may be, if that child is going to school and they are getting a proper education, they'll get the moral structure from the school. They're not getting it now. You know, they're getting woke from the school is what they're getting. But if we can give them the proper moral structure, if we can teach them the necessities and the requirements of them giving back to the community, because, hey, we are blessed with the nation we have, with the Constitution we have, we are so blessed. And we should be teaching our children how blessed they are to have a constitution, and which Bill of Rights, of course, is part of that constitution. It's the capstone of that constitution. We are blessed with that, unalienable rights, limited law. In other words, had nothing to do, no legislated law upon us, but we're under the law of God, you know, common law. You know, and for having that, you have to give back. And if you don't teach your children to give back, to have the knowledge of those things and to give it back to the community by giving time to do these things that is their duty to do, a couple hours a month, big deal. You know, a couple hours a month, maybe $20 a month, big deal. You can do it. Everyone can do it. Okay, but if we're not going to do that, then we lose it all. You know, we have to put back into the minds of our children who we are. They have to know their heritage. If they don't know their heritage, then they don't have their inheritance, and the inheritance is liberty. We're losing it, and it's our fault now. The truth is out there. The education is out there. It's our fault. It's the fault of the people listening in to these programs and are not doing anything. It's our fault. We have to fix it. Only we can fix it. All right, Jan, back to you.
Okay, next one is short and sweet.
Okay.
Sorry to bother you. Do you shop items through Amazon? That might have been ship, but it might be a typo, so it could be, do you shop or ship items through Amazon?
Do I shop? No, I don't. All I do is shop on that is Amazon, unfortunately.
I think, John, it refers to our stuff, books and stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, I'm self-published, and so I sell on Amazon. I am looking on other places to sell my books on. I started looking at other things, but then I found different contractual problems or situations or whatever that I don't want to get into. We do sell our books on Amazon. You know, I published my book through a publisher, okay? It took two crazy years to get things published to begin with. It didn't publish it the way I felt that it should have been done, and it's not really making much money off of that to a publisher, you know. In the beginning, I made a few thousand bucks, but, my last check was like $600 for six months of selling on through the publisher, you know. And so it's really difficult to sell a book, to get it go through the publisher, and to sell that book, to get it going. It costs a lot of money to really publicize it and get it going. But Amazon, you know, there's ways that you can pump yourself up on the ratings. I'm working on that. And you're making a check every month, you know. So, anyway, next question. Was that it? That was the question, if we sell?
That was short and sweet, John. Okay. How close are we to really seeing arrests of our judicial leaders, corrupt law enforcement, and lawyers who are knowingly operating under the crown? How can I help locally aside from conversations with my neighbors and preparedness? And do you see us moving closer to Nasara publicly, I guess, being ushered in?
Well, look, I don't know whether that's going to come in or not. It should. I think it may be part of the plan. I don't know for sure. I hear people talking. It is. It makes common sense. as far as when is justice going to come, that's a real good question. Have the people had enough yet? I don't know. Because it doesn't seem like they have yet. I really don't think so. And we do know, Q has said this a long, long time ago, and we're starting to see it, there's going to be a huge scare coming worldwide. And I think we're seeing it develop right now. And people are going to be really, really frightened. And that, to my opinion, can only be war. And I do think we're there. but that's... That's part of the plan to bring people to that point, and then apparently there's a fix for that. I don't know, but Q had spoken about that. Look what has taken place in the streets out in California there, Los Angeles. Look at what went on out there. And I didn't hear much about what was going on nationwide over the weekend, you know, that no King's Day on Saturday. I know that there were a lot of things happening, but I haven't heard of a lot of destruction or anything, so maybe their plan's failing. I do believe their plan was to really bring havoc in all the cities across America. But they haven't accomplished that for some reason. And I guess maybe they just don't have enough control over enough people to do it. Okay? But we're seeing that's going on. But we see what's going on in the Middle East, huge problems, and with Russia, huge, huge problems. Okay, I do believe Russia's working with Trump. I do believe that. And there's a lot more going on than we realize behind the scenes. A lot of people are being upset because Trump may, you know, get involved with what's going on in the Middle East. I don't think we're going to bring troops to the Middle East. I don't believe that at all. We might do something, but I don't think that's going to be the case. But nevertheless, Trump is right. And anybody who has been around long enough, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 years old and older, maybe, I don't know, you understand the problem with Iran. They cannot have a nuclear bomb. They just cannot do it because these people will use it. They are evil. And if people don't realize that, so you get people who are, you know, getting upset about some of the things Trump's saying. He's not really pushing hard, but you know, you can kind of see some things may happen here. Don't know what that might be. But again, you know, take Tucker Carlson. He made a big, big thing about it. He's missing some things, and all these guys are missing things, and they're missing the fact that we're not a democracy. That's a big miss right there, you know. Well, they were taught in school this problem, of course, you know, and they don't. There's so much that they really don't understand. But in any event, to not realize, for Tucker Carlson not to realize that Trump is stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we have to do something with Iran. We cannot let them have a nuclear weapon, because rest assured, probably New York City would go. You know, they're not going to stop just getting rid of Israel. They're not going to stop there. And these people are everywhere, all this craziness. They worship Baal, is who they worship. Baal's all over the Bible, if you want to know who Baal is. They worship Baal, and they're full of hatred and anger, and they think that they're on a mission from God to kill anyone that doesn't believe the way they believe. That's who they are. And we're going to give them a nuclear bomb? We're going to permit them to have a nuclear bomb? It's a problem. So, all right, anyway, back to you, Jan. I'm getting carried away.
That vein, John, I've read that they didn't develop a nuclear bomb, but they were given neutron bombs on missiles. Wow. By George Herbert Walker Bush.
That's
so that changes the whole thing. So they can say, we didn't develop this. We're not refining material to make a bomb. We just have them, which changes the whole landscape.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. This fellow submitted his charge of treason against our servants. It was a 17-page document, John. I don't know if you saw it and had a chance to look at it or not.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So then I guess we have no more questions.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go to the queue. All right. Anybody has any questions or comments or corrections to offer, or tell us another way we can have government by consent? My ears are open, and the queue is open for any kind of a discussion. Let me see who we got in the queue. We have four people in the queue right now. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're coming in on an app or a browser, should be a button there. Get into the queue. Okay. Jeff, you got the mic. What state you from, Jeff?
I'm in Pennsylvania, John.
How you doing, Jeff?
Well, I wish I was doing better. I called last week, and my topic was not in alignment with yours, of course, but I just would like to explain that I am disabled. I have 80% lung damage. I'm on oxygen right now. And on June 4th, I had a knock at the door. I thought it was Meals on Wheels. And here is a sheriff's deputy, and he's got these papers, and he wants to know if I'm so-and-so. And I didn't answer him. And he's looking at these papers, and I said, well, what are these papers? He says, it's a complaint. A complaint from who? You know, I'm sitting here, I've got to have physical therapy. I'm messed up pretty bad, let's just put it that way. And this came from a pneumonia and improper hospital treatments as well, but I won't go into that. But he's looking at the complaint, and the county has filed a complaint to take my home over unpaid property taxes. Now, of course, I got upset. I started to I have a critical problem with asthma, so I started having respiratory failure and gasping for air. And he read through the complaint, and this deputy says he's never seen anything like this before. He didn't know what to make of it. He said he assumed there would be a tax sale at some point, but he didn't know. So I got these papers, and when I calmed down, I went over it. It's a complaint to perfect the they're creating these tax liens from past unpaid taxes. It's a long story. It wasn't a question that I was avoiding paying the property taxes, that I had no money to pay them, and I had my father's estate to deal with and other issues. So I had filed bankruptcy to delay until I could get the funds together to work out either a payment plan or some other route. But these guys didn't care about that. They're just trying to foreclose on my house. And I had they got me 20 days to answer this thing. And I'm frustrated, of course. I'm angry, and I can't be put out on the street with this kind of medical condition I've got. And I don't know what kind of country I'm living in where you can treat people like this. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is a mess. So it is a complaint. That means that they got a court case going. And you need to respond to this. How many days into this now? Are you, 8 or 10 days into this? You got 20 days?
I got till the 24th.
24th of this month. Okay, one of the things you want to do is just write a letter to the judge telling them that you're disabled and you got this, that, and you don't have knowledge and you're trying to figure out what to do and you're looking for counsel and you need more time. You know, just basically, it should be a short letter, a paragraph or two, covering that kind of an idea. They will give you the time, okay? Now, I will, I've already gone up against the IRS, and I did win a case against the IRS. You know, you go to tax court with these people, and that's where they pull you into. Which brings you into the federal courts, of course. And if you lay out the case properly, you can defeat them. Now, do you truly owe a lot of money from their perspective, claiming against you that you owe taxes? I mean, did you really make a lot of money that you owe that much money? I mean,
I have no income at present. What little bit I sell on eBay.
Back then, what years are they saying, and how much money did you make during those years? Just to get an idea, to understand the strategy of your battle.
Okay, it goes back from 2012 to the present. That's when I filed the first bankruptcy. I had no income after the inheritance ran out. I had post-traumatic stress disorder. I was not able to work. And then they screwed me on the disability, but I won't go into all that, but there's been no income.
Okay, here's the question. 2012 to present, to what years are they going after?
2012 to present.
Okay, and how long have you been out of work?
At least 14 years.
So you really haven't been making money during 2012 to present?
I did a barter system where I was bartering with people in exchange for when I was able to do physical labor, mm-hmm. and they would help pay the bills, and that's how I got by for quite a while.
They wouldn't know anything about that unless you.
No.
Okay, so what they're doing, and did you have a lot of money going to the bank at that time? Was it over $100,000? Was it $50,000?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Then here's your thing. There's Form 4490. Okay, you're going to look that up. Just put IRS Form 4490. And then there's the IRS Form 56. Okay? One of them deals with that they have to show ultimately what this tax is from, and they have to swear to it. Okay, these are affidavit forms required to be filed in the federal court where they're taking you to court. Okay, and
well, they got me in a county court here.
The IRS has you in a county.
Oh no,
court.
No! This is the county one. Yeah, okay. No, not the IRS.
Okay. So what taxes are you talking about then? You're talking about
property taxes,
okay.
Ad valorem taxes.
Okay. Well, that's a whole different story now, and that's another battle. And if it was IRS, I could lay out a way that you can really put them at bay, and it throws them totally off. Okay, so it's property taxes. So they're claiming you owe property taxes since 2012, and you haven't been able to pay the property taxes because you don't have the income. I presume you're on Social Security, huh?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, this is a problem for a lot of people. I don't know that I have an answer for you on this. The only thing, you have to battle it. You have to fight it, okay? And even if they're trying to take your home, let me think about this. I don't even know how a county court to do this. I'm kind of surprised. It should be I guess the county court is the one that they'd have to go to deal with it, because the state courts probably don't want to deal with it. You might be able to make a case of due process, but again, you have no knowledge of the law and how the courts work, right?
Rudimentary knowledge, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't file a paper. You don't know how to file a paper, what papers to file. You don't know how to make the battle.
I'm a little foggy on that. Yeah, I talked to several people. Somebody says the preliminary objections need to be filed. There was something about a writ of quaranto, or writ of quaranto.
Yeah, that's not going to work on this case. No. And people think that a writ quaranto is going to work on a lot of things, and it's just not going to. A writ quaranto, let's say, if they deny you due process, okay, and now a writ quaranto can come into play there. But there's different strategies you could do, different things. You know, I would move it to federal court for cause and make the battle of due process. And if you go to federal court for cause, then you're only arguing the constitutional violation. You're not arguing the court case. You're not talking about taxes. You're not talking about anything. Just the fact that court is not giving you the due process. Now, that could be the thing to go to, because remember, you know, I had an epiphany, and I don't know why it took me so long to realize this, okay? And that is that these judges are labeled administrative law judges. They're all ALJs. Everywhere you look, every single judge out there is an ALJ judge, administrative law judges. Has nothing to do with we the people, okay? So you could make your argument there in order to take my home, this has to be a trial by jury. So you have to demand a jury trial.
Yes.
You have to prepare for that jury trial. So one of the first things you want to do before you even do that is look for more time. You need to get an additional 30 days. And you could lay out the certain facts, your condition, and so on and so forth. Once you wait as long as you can on that before you start to make your argument, and you go through denials of... And that this is a denial of due process, that if you want to take my property, you have to give me a common law court. You know, you have to give me a court of justice, and a court of justice is a jury trial. Okay? Now, again, now you got to, you want to really stretch it out. Again, you're going to have to need some knowledge here. So if you don't have the knowledge, you're going to have to take a course and get this knowledge.
Right.
I mean, we,
right.
Of course, if you want to take our course. But, you know, you have to gain the knowledge of how these things work and how the papers work. And you really got to spend a lot of time with it to be real good with it. Everyone should take the course, in my opinion, just to have the knowledge. It may not be enough to really be able to be good in court. You know, only people that really want to be good in court and really want to work at this, you know, you spend the time, you'll get it. But the thing is that you can start building a case from that perspective and get into a jury trial. Now, you also, and this is extremely important, it may not sound important, but the PowerPoint is an extremely important software to be able to use and master to a degree. You don't have to know everything about it, just enough to create your PowerPoints. And because if you're going to go to court, you're going to want to use a PowerPoint to make your position to the people, because first of all, they're all brainwashed. Every one of them thinks you should be paying property tax, okay? But the thing is in order to free them, and they have to listen because they're the jury, you have to come up with good information for them to believe, and you can sway that jury. The other thing is you have to free the jury, okay? What I do often is I will incorporate a PDF copy of a jury. We have a handbook for pedigurists, and so I would incorporate that book into the court case attached and make reference from your paperwork. Just make reference to it. Now, the other side is brain dead, okay? And they don't even read much. They're very lazy to begin with. And it's not really anything they're going to pay much attention to. So they're probably just going to let it go so it'll get into the case. Because, see, when you get to trial, you cannot bring into trial anything that hasn't already been put into the court, okay? So that's why the court case is an argument back and forth, and could take months, it could take a year, could take even more than that, okay? And that's what you want to do, is waste, get as much time as you can, because during that time, you want to file the necessary papers, but you really are working towards educating yourself, preparing yourself for being able to really articulate your case before a jury, and to be able to have all the knowledge and things that you're going to need to make your case concerning the fact that this is unlawful. Property tax is unlawful, but you got to prove it to them. But also, you have to free that jury. And this is going to be a battle in the court. And maybe not so much if we can get success in the federal court, because we're trying to open up courts of justice. And, there has been some activity we'll talk about in the near future on this case. But right now, we're trying to get courts of justice open at the federal level. And once we get on the federal level, then we can hammer down on every state. And then we're going to need people, because I can't do all 50 states. You know, I mean, just think how long it's going to take to fight a court case in every all 50 states, okay? We need people who are educating themselves in this so that could work with us and could be building the case to ready for that battle to bring courts of justice back into their state, okay? But anyway, if we can get the federal courts of justice back open, and then we can always go there to pressure them to be obedient to the law of the land. Okay, but the argument that you're going to have to make at some point is to free the jury, because every jury that's out there is stacked. Okay, that jury is picked specifically. They ask them questions, all kinds of things. You know, do you have weapons in the house? Does anybody have gun permits? Does anybody else in the house have a gun permit? What news do you? Literally, they ask these questions on a federal level. What news media do you listen to? They know exactly who they want to put on what case, so the whole system is rigged, okay, and it's stacked. And that's okay, let them stack the jury to some degree. I mean, you get a chance to make the decision who gets onto the jury also, but the thing is let them stack the jury. The thing is, you got to free them. And to free them means that you have to then open up that PDF that you would attach to your case, which lays out the power and the authority of the people through the petty juries. You're going to get objections, you're going to get all kinds of problems, but if we can get the courts of record open, I mean, then they're not going to be able to do anything against that. The other thing is that time also, I do believe that Trump will be working on that problem, because I know he knows that this is unlawful. You know, a direct tax is unlawful. That's the Constitution, and that's what you build your case around, okay? That it's a direct tax. Anything, look, at you already paid property tax on that property when you bought it, okay? That's already been done and paid for, okay? And if they come every year, then that's rent. That's no longer tax. It's not no longer anything but, and if they could take it from you if you don't pay it, then it's like rent. Matter of fact, they call you a... what's the word they use? I can't think of the word. That is unlawful, okay? The Constitution is clear, no direct tax. So any tax that you can't avoid is unlawful. And any tax that comes on a yearly basis on some property you own, it's not even a tax. It's they're saying we own the property, and they want you to pay them, otherwise they're going to kick you out. So anyway, you have to do a lot of homework on this. We've got some homework done on this we can share, you know, and but you really got to take the course, and you have to understand how the court system works. I also wrote a book recently, a couple of months ago, on federal courts. And the name of the book is Understanding the Federal Courts. And it's a small book. It's nothing big. It's like a large handbook. And anybody that's going to go into federal courts should read that book, because they need to understand how the federal courts work. So you should know that, and take the course, and then dig down real deep in the subject matters you have to work with. And we have lots of information on your subject matters. But I'm sure you can find a lot more on your own, too. And that's the only way you're going to save your property. If you hire a lawyer, you're not going to save your property. They're not going to be able to help you. You're just throwing your money away. And you're in a situation you don't have money anyway, so that's a problem, too. So, but you don't want a lawyer. So that's why the only thing I could tell you, you've got to buckle down and start really working on your knowledge base and getting your education, and start off with telling the judge that you need more time. He's got to give it to you. Ask for 30 days. Tell him this caught you by surprise, and you haven't been able to get any even a counsel at this point. You don't have the money to get counsel, and you're working on things, and you're working on trying to figure out how to approach this case. Again, keep it very short, a couple of paragraphs. Make mention of the fact that you are disabled. Are you a veteran? Did we lose our caller? I think we lost our caller. All right, anyway, that's all I can help on that. We'll take our next caller here. Taylor, you got the mic. What's your first name, and what state you're from?
Hi, my name is Tammy. I'm from Colorado.
Tammy from Colorado. Go ahead.
I have a situation where I canceled my license 7 years ago, and basically there was a reason why I did it, but this isn't really the hill I want to die on. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say that before.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, I had a slight fender bender, and now I'm having to go to court for no license. I thought I was driving on a passport, because, you know, they allow foreigners to come here and drive as soon as they get here, because they have a passport, and it's, I figure you can't give illegals more rights than you can give the citizens.
Well, they disagree with you on that, but go ahead.
Anyways, so I'm having to go through all of this and study, and I studied the Constitution for years.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you give up your license? I have a feeling I know why, but why did you give up your driver's license?
Because I had a wreck about 7 years ago, and I went to court over it for careless driving, because I didn't know how fast I was going, and so the cop wrote me a ticket for careless driving instead of just speeding.
So you lost your driver's license and you never got it back?
No, I didn't lose my license, because they gave me a ticket for careless driving, and I went to court, and I couldn't get any answers to everything, and I just felt like I was treated like a child, and it just kind of brought out the hatred in me, that I just went home and I canceled my license.
Right, but were you listening to people with this man on the land stuff? You got to get rid of your birth certificate.
No, I don't do that kind of stuff.
Because a lot of people, those people out there teaching that stuff, from my opinion, it's a strong opinion, is they're just injuring a whole bunch of people because people can't win that battle. And I don't care how many claims they have or how many successes they have. I don't believe it at all. You know, it is possible one success here or there. You know, that's possible. Depends because, you know, there's lots of judges out there. You get lots of different individuals and who knows, you know, so on. But the thing is they are destroying a lot of people. Okay, a lot of people.
In any event,
you got a different situation. What's the big concern on this as far as the penalty that they're putting against you? Are they trying to say there's going to be jail time or is it going to be a fine or what? Well, you don't know.
I've been studying the Constitution for years, and that's why I canceled my license. I figured there's some kind of law that protects.
They don't care. Well, they don't care about your Constitution.
They don't
acknowledge that. You have civil rights, and civil rights is they can decide when to give it to you or not. They may not like you. The way they are, these people. But, okay, so you shouldn't cancel your license. Look, I understand we don't need licenses to drive. I absolutely 100% agree, but I won't go without my license. And I did get my license long before I even understood this stuff. But I would have gotten one anyway, just so I don't have to go to jail. And because you have to deal with the problem, you know. But we've got to fix the problem. Fixing the problem gets right back to the same thing. The people have to step up and take hold of themselves and put time into their community and create committees of safety and get involved. And we need to do that all across America. That's the only way we're going to bring everything back because we're not going to bring any of this back, really. There are ways to beat it. I did beat a case recently, took them into state court out of a town court, and I won the case there. And now they're playing these games, even though they defaulted and so on and so forth. But they didn't even know how to answer my papers, nor did they think they even had to, I think, because who am I to deny, you know, to question their powers and authorities, because that's their attitude. So the more you push back, the harder they're going to come at you. So, you know, the thing is, I hate to say this, but you might want to go in and just plead guilty and say, look, I was in ignorance, and tell them your story the way you told me, and, and try to get out of this thing. Because I don't think, unless you have the knowledge of how to go into the courts, and it's going to take a lot, you can't miss the paper. There's a structure and a process. And I haven't even taught this part of it because I have learned more since I did the course that we have. I'd like to one day put all of this paperwork together that I did to win this case and lay it out. And I will do that. I just got to find the time. But I will put it up there. And, you have to file a certain papers. You know, you have to come in on a special appearance. And you have to do an appearance paper. And then you have to challenge the jurisdiction. Once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided. Then there's going to be arguments about that. This judge is going to think, well, he's going to decide. No, you can't decide. You already believe, number one. Number two, I served the paper to you, and I gave you the positions that prove the fact that I'm not getting due process in this court. And the other side didn't even answer that. And now you're ruling for the other side when they don't have a position, and that's not what a judge is supposed to do. You're supposed to rule on the evidence before you. You know, there's all kinds of problems that you're going to have. I only give them one chance in the town courts, and then I move it over to the state court or to the federal court, depending on the case. And it's a denial of due process. And I sue them for that in their person because they stepped outside of their authority. The administrative process has no power, no authority over me. Now, again, you know, this is uphill battles, and you have to have some knowledge to potentially win. In a lot of cases, you're just not going to win because these people are pure evil, and they don't care, and they protect each other. Yeah, I got another case that they moved from one county into another county because it's up against the comptroller of the state, and they moved it up to Albany, and they want to go fight up in Albany because the fix is in up there. Not necessarily so easily fixed in this county. You see? So again, it's a difficult thing. Are you fearing you're going to go to jail over this?
No. See, that's one of the things that happened I'm not too afraid of that. It's more about standing up.
Right, if you want to make that battle, then you know they're going to come down hard on you and fine or something. But you know, again, I don't have time to make that battle. Look, there's a lot of things I could do, and not do what I am doing, like the driver's license. Let's say I'm just going to keep that driver's license. And my attitude, why I have a driver's license, which is never brought up, but if it was, it's because I've driven commercial from time to time. I may want to drive commercial again, so I need my driver's license. You know, that's all I say. But I never had to say that, okay, and I never will. The thing is it, you know, it's a battle you're definitely going to lose. I don't know whether it's worth it for you to do that. They will come down on you harder if you make the battle. If you have the knowledge and the ability, then you should make the battle and sue them and try to get money off them and take them into state court. But if you don't have the knowledge of doing that, then, you know, forget about it. It's another problem.
Well, that's one thing I want to ask you about. When I very first went into court, they immediately took away my right to have a jury trial. And he was like, because you're... There's no punishment of jail with this court hearing.
My advice to you is to make your stand with committees of safety. Get involved with that. If there's not a committee of safety, then start a committee of safety. Get people involved. Get active in the community. Plead guilty, pay the fine, and walk away. Just so you can get it out of your way. Because I will tell you one thing, the more you fight and the more you anger them, the more venom they come out with and the higher they're going to hit you for a penalty. Now, I know, you know, again, if you want to fight it, that's fine. And again, it's going to be the higher the penalty. I don't know what their max out could be or what. Who knows? Max anything out on. But I would say if you want to take your stand and step up before, you know, your rights and to try to bring things back to order, get into a commitment to safety.
Well, that's one thing I noticed right off, though, was this is like a huge rot, and it starts right there, is that when they take your right away to have a jury trial, even though it's in our, I think it's in our Constitution,
yep.
If the ticket's over $20 or something like that?
$20, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the Seventh Amendment.
That's how you get back to that, to where you say, hey, I want a jury trial.
Well, here's the problem. You see, in suits of common law where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial of jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States then according to the rules of the common law. Now, here's the problem in suits of common law. You see, you're in a commercial court. They're operating the commercial law up against you. So from their perspective, you don't get a jury.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And the only way you do that is what I would do if I were you is, here's what I would do if I were you. First of all, I'd start to get educated quick if you want to deal with this problem ultimately at some point in time. But right now, go and really not have much to say. Don't make a plea. Let him make a plea for you. Let them find you guilty. And then let them fine you, and you pay the fine, and you keep a record of this, and you write a good affidavit. You know, you write details of everything because you're going to create a nice affidavit later. And then you go sue them in their persons. I like to sue these people for $1,000 face value of real money. So $1,000 real money face value, and I always ask for Morgan silver dollar coins. Okay, so $1,000 in Morgan silver dollar coins is about $40,000 for each thousand. Okay, and I don't know where silver's at right now, but Morgan silver dollars is more expensive, a couple of bucks more than whatever the ounce is going for. So last time I looked, it was like in the 30s, but maybe it's 35, 37, whatever it is. And so that's $37,000 to $40,000 per $1,000. And if you go after the judge in their person and you go after the prosecutor in his person, then, you know, that doubles it up. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that, and you could do it for $2,000 face value. I just use a rule of thumb, $1,000, for each violation of my rights, whatever they may be. Now, so if you just kind of let them push you along and let them put a plea on for you, you don't want to make a plea, and then they put a plea for you, and then they find you guilty, and then they fine you, and you pay the fine, now you have a case against them. Now you can sue them. And you could sue them, you know, a year from now. You don't have to sue them now. You know, I don't know. Let me think a minute here. I wouldn't appeal the process because then you're playing more into their thing. You see, what they did is they hijacked you into their court. That's what they did.
Yes,
and
your exactly.
jurisdiction's unknown ultimately. Yeah. So that's the only suggestion I can give to you. If there's no fear of jail, then let them fine you, pay the fine, and sue them.
Yeah,
and you're under the Seventh Amendment to begin with. Okay, and there's a lot more than that you can, you know, rely upon. But the Seventh Amendment would be the key. And your denial of due process, okay?
Yeah,
so the Seventh Amendment would be your lawsuit case on the one hand, but you also want to sue them for denial of due process, okay? So, you know, that's where we go. Okay, better take our next call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Which is this? Is it Richard? What state
yes.
is it? How you doing?
North Dakota, doing good. Yeah, I wanted to give you some positive feedback. There were a while back I talked to you about some help on a demand that I owed the seller some money for a bunch of bogus furniture and stuff. But the advice you gave me, I drafted a nice letter. I did talk to Gary Will as well, and drafted up the letter, and it said there was no meeting of the minds agreement. If they were demanding I had an agreement, I said, I want to see the meeting of the minds agreement. Where's the written agreement? And blah, 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 went through the whole thing. And the thing just went away. So, but the one thing I did say in there is that I want you to cease and desist. I want you to tell your client to cease and desist the defamatory, derogatory comments about our character in public and at work. To stop it, and or there could be some serious issues. And that's how I kind of said it. And never heard from them again. But they continue to spread their stew. But anyway, what's I've been getting a lot of stuff on Telegram, Bitcoin and all this stuff. Have you guys gotten anything? I mean, every Telegram account that I have, there's something like Bitcoin, get this, get that, get the silver, get the gold certificates and all this stuff, and you're going to get millions of dollars. I mean, that sounds to me like a Ponzi scheme.
It is. It is a Ponzi scheme. And I am so surprised that Trump has fallen for this because he seems to be backing this idea. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's backed by nothing. It's just as bad as the monopoly money that we have, and maybe even worse.
Well, I was watching some of the videos that he had, and you were talking about it earlier in his AI thing, and I'm watching, and he had Bondi, her attorney general, whatever. She
yeah, attorney general Bondi. Yeah.
Then they had her on, another one was on Fox News gal, and I was watching her eyes and their lips. Now, the words were matching up with their lips, what they were saying. But their eyes, they had this exact same movement repeatedly, back and forth, little bit nod, this little bit that way, and the eyes were constantly blinking in a time thing. Now, I don't blink every 2 seconds when you can count on. I blink when I need to. And these are AI things. You just kind of, I said it tonight, that's what this stuff is.
Like I said earlier, it's getting difficult to find out what's real anymore. Look, I have certain news that I listen to that I have a lot of faith in. I've been listening to a long time. And I found a few people, others, that I've been listening to just maybe the past year or so, but they're so solid, you know. We list some of them up here. It's under our welcome tab. Let's see where it's at. I think it's under the welcome tab. Under our welcome tab, let's see. Up-to-date news, let's see. This is where I get a lot of my news from. X22 Reporter is one of my favorites.
Okay. Yep.
And We Know is really good. That guy I like a lot. SGT Report is good. Crossroads with Joshua Phillip. Q News Patriot. Not so much going on that one anymore, but anyway, front page with Scott Gillette. Well, Q News Patriot.
Stephen Gardner, I've been listening to him a lot.
Stephen Gardner is good. Tucker Carlson. Christian Patriot News has been dead for quite some time, 6 months or so. I like Joe Rogan, but that's the conversation. And for health reasons, anybody who's got health problems, even health problems you think are incurable, well, you may think again, because a lot of these problems are curable. Dr. Eric Berg deals with a lot of this stuff. He's got thousands.
I was listening to him on some stuff about ED, and mm-hmm. he's got some good stuff on there.
There's two other guys I've been listening to, and I just can't think of the names, and I haven't put them up here yet. So, but I've been listening to those two guys maybe about 9 months now, and they've been pretty rock solid. What I like about these other two guys, and I'll put them up here soon, what I like about these two other individuals that deliver the news is they deliver the news in 15 minutes. They give you the main stories, you know, the headlines, and they give you enough information, enough cues to walk away with that you have some basic knowledge. Now, if you want to learn more, you can dig deep. And for someone who doesn't have a lot of time to dig too deep in news, because I'm too busy digging deep other places, I really like the idea of getting the headlines and some basic, the strongest parts of the news.
Yeah.
And I know one of them just opened up a more in-depth program, which he gets into the news and deeper. He still gives his, his daily reports, and sometimes two or three a day, which are about 10 minutes long. And so you get the headlines, you get up to date what's going on. And then if you listen to his, he just started a new program about a month ago where he has something, he talks for a couple hours. So I haven't listened to that. I just don't have the time. But I'll put those other two up soon. But that's who I listen to.
There was one I had a note in here a while back about this lacking standing. I can't think of his name. He's got a weird. He was on maybe a month or two ago, and I saved it, and I forwarded it to you, to NLA. And it had to do with about the reason they were getting that comment, but no, for lack of standing, it had to do with they were naming a machine. You can't sue a machine. But he said what they were, and the Democrats are bragging. Biden was bragging about it in 2016. They have the most sophisticated voting rigging system in the world. And he said when they got to the point where he said they were going after the system, now the courts are going to listen to them. And Mike Lindell, I don't know if he ever caught on to that. He was going he's in court right now in Colorado over these voting machines. But I can't think of the guy's name. He was the one that developed. He had a bunch of patents on. He could take a ballot and he can tell you if it's real or copied or whatever. And he was going to redo all of Georgia's voting ballots in 2020, and they refused to do it. And he said it'd take him about 4 hours. He can go through millions of votes.
Well, look at all the evidence necessary to deal with the voting problem is already in place. It'll be dealt with eventually.
Okay.
But
which leads to the next thing. Now, I keep hearing about Gitmo and all these trials and these military tribunals, and there's people in Gitmo, and they're expanding and putting. Is there any truth to that?
I have no idea. I don't believe much of that stuff. I mean, look at Gitmo is open. It's been extended on. Tremendous amount of investment has gone into that, going all the way back into Trump's first, presidency. And there is a plan. People are being sent out there, okay. But there is a plan ultimately for the purpose. I think that purpose ultimately is for the military to really deal with these people who are really seriously guilty of subversion against the United States of America, and it's clear, you know, treason. And these people particularly are people who are in government positions. So I do think that's going to happen. I believe that. I don't think it's happening now. There are people claiming all kinds of claims. Like I said, it's hard to figure out what to really believe these days anymore.
I know. Okay, next question is, that landlord thing that I had, that townhome and stuff, you were right. I had another friend of mine who's a property owner of rental properties, and I asked him for his opinion about it. And he said, well, he had some tenants that did over $10,000 worth of damage to his property. And he said he was going to take it to the attorney. He said the attorney wanted a minimum of $5,000 to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so that turned out true. But anyway, on my case, I did get a that must have happened to her as well, because I never got anything from any attorneys. But what I did get was from a collection agency. Now, they've not given me any notice or anything, but they've been giving me calls. I haven't returned the calls yet because I want to – my question
they're
is –
they're not going to give you any information on who they're even collecting for. I've gotten calls from those people over the years, and
okay.
They want information from me, but they won't even tell me who they're collecting for. And so it's difficult to deal with them. And maybe the reason they don't do that, well, I don't know. Again, you don't even know who these people are. You know, to get that information.
Well, I've gotten calls from before from the same entity from another one, and they did tell me what it was about. And that was on that Social Security fraud thing that I had to deal with a couple years ago. But anyway, they just didn't call. They're not sending me any letters or anything. So
Just so you know, we're running real short of time, so we're going to have to cut it short.
I want to get to my question.
Yeah.
Now, she was committing fraud. Is fraud – can I have a warrant for arrest for robbery? And I figured it out. She's stolen over $4,000 from us. She collected over $12,000 of additional rental income over the 5 years that we were there. She kept raising the rent every year.
You could sue her for fraud, and that could be done in a civil case. But again, you want a court of record, that's difficult to get. But, you know, you can, you know, if the government doesn't feel that they're being, exposed or status quo isn't being challenged, whether it's a big corporation that they are obligated to protect or the court itself or the government itself, you know, if they don't feel that there's a threat to those institutions, then you might be able to get a court case going and a jury, because there's no threat. Why would they bother to give you a hard time?
Yeah.
You know,
what about
sounds like something you, if you got the knowledge, the ability to do it yourself, I would do it. To pay a lawyer, it's a whole different story, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll
yeah.
get a lawyer who'll do it for a third or something, which they really should only get 25% max. But in any event, if it's a real good case and it's a lot of money, it doesn't sound like it's a lot of money anyway, so I don't think you're going to get a lawyer to even take it for a percentage.
Well, and she kept her deposit, and then she violated about seven different things in her lease. Here's my question.
Well, here's the best thing to do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do.
Authority
Hold on.
Enforce anything in their lease when they've already broken everything in it. That's my question.
What town are you in, or what city are you in?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Where?
Fargo, North Dakota. Cask.
Is that a city or a town?
City.
It's a city?
Cask County is the county. Yeah.
Okay, well, go down to the city court, okay? Find out what the maximum is that you can sue for small claims. And that's over the $4,000, so there you go. Go there. Everybody that walks in there, you don't need a lawyer. And it's really just he said, she said, but you want to go in with affidavits and proof, documentation, everything, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I tried that battle. I think you can win that because you don't have to really have knowledge of the law to do that. It's really on the
well,
fact.
But here's the thing is, what I'm thinking she might do is she might say, well, you owe me $10,000. I can prove that I don't learn nothing.
Well, again, probably will do a countersuit, maybe. So, yeah, whether it's worth it is another story.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, we got three people. We
okay.
only got a
yep.
few minutes. So.
Yep.
All right?
No, okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Ross, you got the mic. We only got a couple minutes, so we'll make it kind of quick.
You hearing me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. My sister and I was for the community safety in Clackamas County. She doesn't see any fear of her. She, in the future, Clackamas County does not have a community safety.
Okay, your county, you said something about a committee of safety, and your county doesn't have a committee of safety, or what?
No, I said, she said she doesn't see in the foreseeable future Clackamas County will not have a community of safety.
She doesn't see in the future? Who's she?
Oh. My sister and my brother's wife. I'm not getting her name. I just said sister by sister in law. It's Jessica who's saying that to me.
Yeah, I'm not getting the question though. I'm not understanding the question. I know you're talking about the Committee of Safety and...
but she says she doesn't see in the future that Miss Kay will have one.
She doesn't see in the future that you would have one?
Yes.
Okay. And who is she?
I said my brother's Brendan's wife.
Okay. All right. I understand that. And look, people are in different places. And I'm not insulting them, but they're ignorant to the facts. Okay. And again, let me be very clear. You know, I'm ignorant to a lot of things. There's a lot of subject matters out there I don't have the knowledge of, so therefore I'm ignorant to. These people have not been trained, they're not taught, they don't think about thinking about these problems and these things and the solutions. So they're totally ignorant to this. They don't understand the Committee of Safety. They don't understand even that we're a republic and what a republic is. They don't understand the difference between law and equity. They think we're a democracy. They think we're under Roman law, which is civil law, which brings us to the law of the city, the law for the slaves, the control of the citizens. You know, again, you go on and on and on with all these things. And people believe that's where we're at. They believe that the court system works. They believe that they should go to court if they're called in and put their life and potential jeopardy before an individual who's a servant and it's an administrative law judge. Don't even know what an administrative law judge is. So anyway, they don't have the knowledge base to be able to make a conclusion like that. You know, you have to make that conclusion on your own, from your own knowledge. I know you've been around a long time, and I do believe you have enough knowledge to make that decision on what you think about all that.
So I always talk about it, and she said, we don't need a community safety.
Yeah, because she doesn't understand the problems. Look at people have no idea how much of a slave we actually are, how much liberty we actually lost. You know, they have no idea, and I went through this earlier on in the program, they have no idea that we don't have courts of justice. They have no idea that habeas corpus is not available for them. They have no idea that the Constitution is not upheld in the courts, that the Bill of Rights is not upheld. You don't have unalienable rights. You have civil rights, and in civil rights, the judge can say, well, today you're not going to have that right, so you're guilty, and this is the case, and you're going to, and they tell you whatever the penalty is going to be, maybe even put you in jail. I mean, who are these people? And but the problem is we let them get away with it. You know, the key to getting this whole nation back and to bring things back is education, knowledge, and that's it. So this person you're talking about just doesn't have the knowledge. They don't have any knowledge to be able to even comment on the subject matter because they don't even know what a committee of safety is.
Also, my mother said, Mia Long has read the book. She said she's not interested anyways.
She said what?
She's not interested.
Oh, yeah. Well, that tells the whole story right there. She's not interested. That tells the whole story. She's ignorant to it. And that's okay. You know, look at you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. I offer a lot of things to a lot of people. Most of the time, it's just not taken. Sometimes people yes me, and then they don't take the advice, and that's fine. That's their decision. They can do what they want. But with that, I got to move on to the next person.
Also, I also have a friend of mine. He said, he had a. He has to take care of his family, and he has no time to do it.
Well, again, they don't want to do it. They're making excuses, and that's fine. They don't see the importance of it. Do they understand how serious the problems are in this country?
I doubt Tyre Hogginson even knows what's wrong in the country.
So they don't know?
No.
No, well, right there answers the whole question. They have no clue. And look, if people are listening to CNN or ABC or CBS or any of those news medias, okay, if they're listening to that, then all they're being fed is the lie and they're totally brainwashed. They don't know that yet. They're going to know one day. They're going to know. But right now they...
My friend doesn't watch CNN or anything like that. I don't know what news channel he watches anyways.
You don't know what?
I don't know what... news channel he watches anyways.
I'm not getting that last part.
He said, I don't know what news channel he watches anyways, or he doesn't watch the news anyways.
Oh, he doesn't watch the news?
No.
There is a lot of people out there, that's right, they don't even watch the news, you know, they'll put on and I've seen this a lot in the past particularly, but I've seen in the past, you know, you're in a vehicle or whatever and your rock and roll station on, or you got a radio at the beach or whatever, and the news comes on and to another station to listen to something else, rock and roll, and the news comes on, they move that to another station. They don't listen to the news at all, and they don't want to. They want to be ignorant and to what's going on. They're just not interested, and they have no idea that they're heading for slavery. And that's the problem. Okay. Thank you, Ross. Okay, Ace, we only got a couple of minutes, so you got the mic. Go right ahead. We're over time already. We're 4 minutes over.
Hello?
Yep, go right ahead. You got the mic. First name and state.
Oh, okay, yes. Where you're an Amazon seller, I had a question about whether they allow you to get paid in lawful money per the 12 U.S.C. 144.
When you go into a lot of that stuff, they're not going to pay you in real lawful money. No one's going to pay you in lawful money. But you can take the money that they give you and turn it into lawful money. That you could do. So in a sense, you can get lawful money for it. But no, they're not going to give it to you, lawful money. That's the system we're up. At some point in time, we've got to get back to lawful money. We have to get there.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Okay, Brett, last person in the queue here. You got the mic. Only got a minute or two.
Hello?
Yep, Brett.
You can hear me, right?
Oh. Yeah, what state are you from?
Wisconsin. Wisconsin, yeah. So a few questions here. One of them was the habeas corpus that I mentioned a few meetings back, and I was just wondering, when doing it on behalf, do you have to include the person that is being detained, or could I do it if I witness what took place?
Yeah, you can witness what took place. You could talk to the individual that's been incarcerated. You could visit them. You can go on the phone to them. You can get more detail from them. You could take the notes from them. And then you have enough information to write an affidavit from your perspective and their perspective. And when you come in as a next friend, it's the only time that it's the only time that an affidavit is acceptable. If a person is incarcerated and can't write their own, that it could be written by what the federal government has, stated as next friend. So you write it as next friend, and you do. So you're doing the habeas corpus as a next friend. You're doing the affidavit that's attached to that habeas corpus as a next friend, and they have to accept it. Habeas corpuses are not really held up in the courts these days. They think they can deny them or ignore them, and they do. You could take a shot at it, though. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. So.
Yeah. So what's blocking me is like the writer's block part. So how would I start that, kick that sentence off, if that makes sense?
Well, if you go to our educational tab and come down to law, I don't know if you're watching this, it looks like you're on a computer or something. So you come down to law, and then you come over to court forms and process. Okay, click on that. There should be something, and let me do control find habeas. Habeas corpus, instruction forms to file a habeas corpus. It's in PDF and in Word. So there's all the information you need in the instructions. More detail, you can get more detail if you want to take our course. And, I put up a tab up here on every page, where we have our columns where we sell books and other things. You can click on court access in the common law course. It's $125. It's a 90-hour course. And if you click on that, you can get more information, and you can take the first 3 hours for free to see how the course lays out and goes. Now, so people who really want to know the law and how to write papers, you don't have to go spend $200,000 to do that. You come to us, spend $125,000 and learn the same process and more, in my opinion, and then what you're learning for.
You mentioned administrative law judge a little bit ago about it being equity. How do you challenge an administrative law judge?
Well, look, at first of all, and I went back and forth on this in a case, and I'm still in this case, where they tried to change the paperwork from an action to a complaint, which told me they understand exactly what they're doing, at least those people do. And that's a state court we're talking about. And what they were trying to do is remove the jurisdiction because they must have had the knowledge that an action at law means common law process, procedure. A complaint is an administrative process, a civil law process. And remember, they rewrote the rules, and by rules, they changed the law on Rule 2 and the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure and also Criminal Procedure. Rule 2 says that they took law and equity, fused them together, and it's now called civil law, and it's been so since 1938.
Right.
Okay, and now when you make those challenges, and that's a rule. They changed the Constitution by a rule. Just think about that. And therein lays out the danger of the ignorance of the people that they don't see or understand that. Lawyers don't even see and understand that. Elected people in office don't even see and understand that. A lot of these judges, well, some of these judges understand. But that's okay. But you can make the battle. I make the battle. My battles, I know, probably not going to be won at the end of the day, but I'll resurrect them.
Okay. One last question off of the previous caller before me. You said you can accept money and turn it into lawful money. Is there a way to find out that process?
What, to take money and turn it into lawful money?
Yes.
Sure, take your money and go and buy silver. I like what they call junk silver. Junk silver is the original silver dollars, silver quarters, silver half dollars, dimes, silver dimes, you know, all pre-1965. And some of the Kennedy stuff, I think up to 70 has 40% silver in it. I think it's up to 70 or 72, and it's 40% silver in it. But, you know, that's what you could do. That's how you could change it to real money.
Okay.
I save a lot of half dollars, because half dollars they do have some metal value in them, but they're not. But they are guaranteed by the Treasury, and it's not a Federal Reserve money. It's money that's pressed and coined from the Treasury, and even other coins. But I like the half dollars and the nickels, and the nickels have the same. The same metal makeup as they always had. They've never changed that. It has nickel and copper in it. And the half dollars have copper, and I don't know what else they have in there, but I do know they have some copper. But the thing is, it's face value. And if you realize that inflation, that the coins follow the inflation, you know, it loses value or it gains value depending on whether inflation is up or down. I mean, it usually always goes up, but occasionally it goes down for a little bit and back up again. It keeps going up and up and up. But the point is when you go back to a collapsed economy and everything goes back to silver and gold, if we can get that, I believe that's what Trump is working on, if we can get back to that, then all that you've saved in silver dollars has face value because they're backed up by the law.
Wow.
So I save nickels, and I save quarters, and I save dimes. I have a change place. I throw change into, you know, a lot of people save change. And sometimes I see them go down to the bank, you know, boxes of change and dump it into the machines to get debt dollars worth, you know. I would never give up my coins. But, no, I literally will go to the bank occasionally and buy a box of halves. Or a box of nickels, okay?
From where?
From the bank. You go to bank and $100 face value of nickels in a box, and or $500 box of halves, and that's you know, that $500 in a collapsed economy, and we go back to gold and silver. Every $100 is 20 gold pieces. Okay, so $20 equal 20 ounces of, well, 20 silver dollars will equal 1 ounce of gold, because that's the normal ratio. That's the ratio it has always been until the Federal Reserve came into play and started playing with our money. And so it has that value that goes up or down. So once a collapsed economy comes, a $500 box of quarters, in theory and most likely, because again, it's guaranteed. It is the you know, coined by the government. Okay, that $500 is let's see, 2046. That's 5 times. That's 25 ounces of gold right there. That's what a $500 box of halves are. And I like the halves. The halves, because they do look and feel like the real ones, you know, with silver. Forget.
But you get them from the bank, and the bank has
them. I go to the bank and I order them. Yeah, usually they, sometimes they have them on hand. It's rare. I like when they come and say, "Well, do you mind? We can give you, you know, because I belong to a credit union bank." So they'll say to me sometimes, "Well, you know, we've got a lot of halves, and they're member wrapped. Would you like them?" Yeah, I like them. I like them better because there's a, if they've been saving them a long time, then there may be a lot of silver, real silver inside them already, you know. So that's good. But also, every time you get a box of 500, you're going to get a lot of silver coins in there anyway, because they're still, you know, floating around.
Right.
Anyway, with that, we've got to get closing because it's late.
Thank you, John.
Okay, Brent. Good call. Thanks.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.